90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
All right, we'll get started here on Native Spirit Radio, and yes, very exciting day today. Today we heard the announcement of the denial of the permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline for that final easement, and was announced about 3:15 this afternoon. Very exciting news as it reached the camp, and tons of people out there, thousands of people out there cheering as we were watching on MSNBC. It was exciting to hear. I have Maury Spala here with the studio with me as well. Maury?
How, how, how?
You want to give us some thoughts on what you felt?
Yeah, I was definitely watching that, reading the stuff on Facebook, all the social media, the different people reporting. Very exciting. I think a lot of people were caught off guard, you know, with all the veterans coming in. I mean, the numbers, not really quite sure, but it started off with 2,000. Then I heard 11,000 registered, but there are actually 12,000 coming in. And just many more civilians, allies from all over the nation coming in, and all over the world, actually. And I actually saw people in one video this morning. They were holding hands. They said it was like around the whole camp. There were so many people holding hands, and they're in prayer. And it was a really amazing sight to see. And so,
So I'm going to be answering a phone call real quick, but yeah. You want to read these statements that
sure.
were on the air?
Sure. So this is a statement from, it says Dakota Access Pipeline, and it's from the representative Kevin Kramer from North Dakota. He says, in quote, "I hope even a lawless president wouldn't continue to ignore the rule of law. However, it was becoming increasingly clear he was punting this issue down the road. Today's unfortunate decision sends a very chilling signal to others who want to build infrastructure in this country." And that was Representative Kevin Kramer. Now,
Okay. So I have Antonia on the air with us right now. This is Antonia Gonzalez, who's at the Dakota Access Pipeline protest camp at Cannonball, North Dakota. Antonia, can you hear me? All right, awesome. The cell reception is really bad over there, and she's trying her best to meet on the media hill, as they've identified it. So, Antonia, do you want to tell us how it is out there with at the camp?
Yes. Oh,
are you there? All right. Well, Antonia, if you can like move to another spot, because we keep losing you in and out. Antonia Gonzalez works for Kiwanis Broadcasting and is out there for National Native News. Is reporting for National Native News, and she's at the camp right now, getting reports as well as interviews with the people out there, and the amount of veterans that were coming out there. Antonia, can you talk a little bit more now? A little bit? Yeah, it keeps going in and out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, if you could try to call us back, and we'll see if we can get you back on the air real quick. Yeah, so Antonia is out there and doing the doing reporting and trying to get in contact with us. The cell phone coverage is really, really horrible out there. So if you want to read the next statement, go
ahead. Yeah, sure. And this one actually comes from Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont. He says, in quote, "I appreciate very much President Obama listening to the Native American people and millions of others who believe this pipeline should not be built. In the year 2016, we should not continue to trample on Native American sovereignty." So those coming in just recently, very exciting. But, you know, I've seen a couple of interviews with Chairman Archambault from Standing Rock, a few representatives from the camp. Emotions are high. Sounds celebratory. People are happy. Emotions all over the place. But it's really interesting to see this comes on the days before their eviction notice was supposed to be coming, you know?
Tomorrow.
And but they probably weren't expecting thousands and thousands of veterans to be showing up as well. And so this, I'm sure, had some sway in their decision, because I'm sure with all the media coverage that just the regular people have nowadays at the tips of their fingers, that all this coverage would definitely get out if there was a clash, because I saw this morning one of the press conferences that the Sheriff's Department had from Cass County. This was in Morton County. It was Cass County. Mm-hmm. But he was doing like this hype-up speech, you know, to his officers. He was like, you know, "We're not going to get violent. They're going to get violent. So be careful," you know. And he pretty much pit us against them type of speech, which he said they hadn't been violent before. It was coming from the protectors, so be ready, pretty much. So that was coming from him today. And so it was really interesting hearing that, but then the decision coming afterwards. So they don't want to see something like that go on international news.
Definitely. Okay, well, so you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And I'm Rhonda, and I have Maury Spala with me, Zogla Lakota.
Hello.
I'm Acoma Pueblo. And we're talking about the denial of the easement by the Army Corps of Engineers for that Dakota Access Pipeline that would have gone through many reservations in mm-hmm. North and South Dakota. The information just came out this afternoon about 315, 320. It's being reported in many outlets out there, CNN, MSNBC, I know Huffington Post was out there, tons of media, as well as all the veterans that were supposed to come out and try and help out in a peaceful way, mm-hmm. which they were making sure they were letting people know they were not there to fight. They were there to be peaceful protesters mm-hmm. and just, you know, just be there to lend support and their prayers. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have really been excited and not wanting to believe this information as it came out on Twitter. I seen it on Facebook through a friend of mine who's the editor of a newspaper posting about information coming to their tribal elect president, announcing it to their Ogla Lakota tribe. And from there, I went on the line to see if anybody else was reporting and seeing mm-hmm. MSNBC was reporting. And so we had seen that watching it on live television. It was really, you know, crazy to see everyone's reactions to what's going on. I'm mm-hmm. wondering what the Dakota Access Pipeline, what their statement is going to be.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm sure they're screaming in their offices right now. But, you know, this isn't the end. This definitely isn't the end. there are many other pipelines being protested as well, you know, that are not getting the coverage that do need the help of everyone. So I'm sure Dakota Access Pipeline, Energy Transfer, they're going to try to, I'm sure, keep this going as long as possible because they have the money to do it, you know. So I would like to hear a statement from them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we were seeing different reactions from different people on Twitter who were just so happy and elated. But again, it's temporary until they can get an environmental impact statement mm-hmm. about what the potential damage of the pipeline could do, the damages, mm-hmm. and hopefully, you know, people would think that would help. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about this in Lawrence. We had the South Lawrence Traffic Way and had the same kind of issue with an environmental impact statement, and that didn't even help in Haskell's case in fighting that. So hopefully, you know, we'll see something different, but you never know.
Right.
You never know what an environmental impact statement or who it involves.
Yeah.
And who's writing it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's very crazy, the situation going on. Again, we're reporting on the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Army Corps of Engineers announced that they will not be granting the easement to cross Lake Oahe for that pipeline. The announcement was made this afternoon, and as well as at the camp, where many people were seen cheering and dancing, celebrating their victory for today. Mm-hmm. And you know, what do you think this is going to mean for tomorrow?
Exactly. Well, I was actually reading from the Army's website, the U.S. Army's website, about this announcement, and it was the Army's Assistant Secretary of Civil Works, and I believe it's pronounced Maura Kelly. But they talk about, you know, the environmental impact study that needs to be done, but the possibility of rerouting it now, rerouting it. But who knows? They may just reroute it 5 miles up north, which it's still an issue because that water is still coming downstream. And so, I mean, we still have to be vigilant. We still have to hold them accountable. We can't stop today. I mean, it's a great victory, but the battle is not, you know, or the war is not over. The battle is won. The war is not over. So it's going to be interesting.
Definitely. And Chairman Archambault was on MSNBC, was thanking all the people who had come to the camp, as well as those who had sent prayers or sent, you know, given money or supplies, who couldn't be there as well. But they, you know, he wanted to make sure he thanked everybody who was trying to help out. And so he was very gracious and talking about what that announcement meant. So it was really exciting to see all those people celebrating out there. And they did have a statement released by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairman. He stated, "Today, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced that it will not be granting the easement to cross Lake Oahe for the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. Instead, the Corps will be undertaking an environmental impact statement to look at possible alternative routes. We wholeheartedly support the decision of the administration and commend with the utmost gratitude the courage it took on the part of President Obama, the Army Corps, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Interior to take steps to correct the course of history and to do the right thing. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and all of Indian Country will be forever grateful to the Obama administration for this historic decision. We want to thank everyone who played a role in advocating for this cause. We thank the tribal youth who initiated this movement. We thank the millions of people around the globe who expressed support for our cause. We thank the thousands of people who came to the camps to support us, and the tens of thousands who donated time, talent, and money to our efforts to stand against this pipeline in the name of protecting our water. We especially thank all of the other tribal nations and jurisdictions who stood in solidarity with us, and we stand ready to stand with you if and when your people are in need. Throughout this effort, I have stressed the importance of acting at all times in a peaceful and prayerful manner, and that is how we respond to this decision. With this decision, we look forward to being able to return home and to spend the winter with our families and loved ones, many of whom have sacrificed as well. We look forward to celebrating in Wopiala and thanks in coming days. We thank Kelsey Warren, the governor, Dalrymple, and the incoming Trump administration. Respect this decision. Understand the complex process that led us to this point when it comes to infrastructure development in Indian Country. And with respect to treaty lands, we must strive to work together to reach decisions that reflect the multifaceted considerations of all tribes. Treaties are paramount law and must be respected. And we welcome dialogue on how to continue to honor that moving forward. We are not opposed to energy independence, economic development, or national security concerns, but we must ensure that these decisions are made with the consideration of our indigenous people. to our local law enforcement. I hope that we can work together to heal our relationship as we all work to protect the lives and safety of our people. I recognize the extreme stress that the situation caused and look forward to a future that reflects more mutual understanding and respect. Again, we are deeply appreciative that the Obama administration took the time and effort to genuinely consider the broad spectrum of tribal concerns in a system that has continuously been stacked against us from every angle. It took tremendous courage to take a new approach to our nation-to-nation relationship, and we will be forever grateful. So this is a statement from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairman, and his his comments afterwards, Dave Archambault II. Again, we're reporting on the Dakota Access Pipeline and the denial of the easement from the Army Corps of Engineers until an environmental impact statement is done. And I'm trying to have Antonia Gonzalez call in. She's from, she's at the camp right now, and I'm sure there's tons of people using the broadband out there to call people, the cell phones. I could just imagine that. We were trying to have her report to us what was happening. There was sure a tremendous, a lot of celebration happening up there with all the people. And it's cold up there, so, you know, they have to have to deal with all that. But hopefully she'll call us back. And I text her. I don't know if she'll... It's difficult. She was trying to text me yesterday, and it was like, I'm getting all your messages really late. But yeah, so it's exciting to hear what's going on out there as people are in a good festive mood. But again, I'm wondering about tomorrow. So yeah,
exactly. You know, and someone had mentioned that on Twitter as well. You know, today is a great day, you know, to be alive, a great day to be Native, Indigenous. And but as the celebrations go on, I know that they are speaking to the lawyers that they have been working with lately to look into what does happen tomorrow, what does happen in a week and a month from now. How do we stop this from continuing to happen to our people? And so those are the things we're going to have to really look at and work really fast at, you know, coming in January when the new president-elect comes in. I mean, sure, there's going to be a lot of things turned upside down. And so we really have to put certain things in place to protect us in the future. So I'm interested to hear what steps they're taking right now about those. But, you know, right now it's a time for celebration.
Yeah, and that's my concern is, so they said tomorrow was the deadline for the eviction. That's what I'm talking about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with the people that are still there? And still, I can understand not fully trusting of you know what's happening right now.
Yeah,
that they're still want to stay.
Exactly. You know, in Native people, we've had the longest relationship with the U.S. government in treaties, you know, and they've broken every single one of them. So there's no reason for Native people to trust the U.S. government in what they say. So it's, yeah, like I said, it's a great day to celebrate today, but to be vigilant, you know, tomorrow is another day.
Definitely. Well, we're going to take a break, but we'll update you on, again, the Army Corps of Engineers denied the easement for the final part of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so celebrations going on at the camps right now in Cannonball. But we're going to take a small break, and you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. right. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm joined here by Mr. Maurice Spala. We're talking about the easement that was denied by the Army Corps of Engineers, stopping the Dakota Access Pipeline for now until an environmental impact statement is issued. But I have Antonia Gonzalez on the phone line with us right now. She works for Quantic Broadcasting. She's also the host of National Native News. Welcome, Antonia.
Hi, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I totally can hear you a lot better.
Okay. So, well, we had left for a minute just to refuel ourselves, get some food, and that's when we heard about the breaking news. So we were on our way back, and there's still a line of traffic, at least 2 or 3 miles from the main entrance into the main camp, and people have been celebrating this entire time that we've been sitting here in traffic. There were a lot of cars passing by and beeping, and a lot of people just celebrating. There was a group of women right behind us in a truck singing Water is Life, and now that I am at the main entrance of the camp, you can hear singing all around different areas. There are people beeping. You can just tell that there's a lot of excitement going on. And that people seem, all day, people have been in good spirits all day. We have talked to people from all over the country, both Native and non-Native people. Some of the first veterans that I interviewed yesterday came in from Lac-de-Flambeau, Wisconsin. They were setting up their flags, and they were ready to go to the front lines. All the veterans that we spoke with in the last couple of days said they were here to stand in solidarity with the people here and help support protection for the demonstrators after seeing videos and photographs on social media about police tactics. There's a group of non-Native veterans that we talked to today who came in from Lubbock, Texas, about 50 of them. And when I asked them why they were here, they said that they thought that what they saw was excessive use of force, especially as trained people from the military. One of the gentlemen I talked to was from the Navy, and he was talking about what he saw on, you know, social media, the different videos, the drone footage, the pictures going around the media is what made him want to come out here and stand with the people out here. I also posed a question to the Texas veterans that if they had any negative feedback, if there were anyone trying to prevent them to come out here, because as we know, the Dakota Access Pipeline Company, Energy Transfer, is based in Dallas, Texas. So they said that they had nothing but support from the local community, and so they hadn't heard anything like that. But if their friends or family, you know, being in an oil state, did oppose what they were doing, they were supporting them and their decision to come out here. I also talked to some other non-Native veterans who came out here. There's a lot of different clergy people. One of the veterans that I spoke with today was a Lutheran minister and also was coming out here to support. He came from Chicago, brought a number of supplies. I talked to another Army veteran who heard for the call for veterans to come out. He was in Florida, and he is originally from California. So when he heard the call from Florida, he got in his car, drove to California, picked up his gear, and then drove over here to Cannonball, North Dakota, to take part in this. And what he did along the way is he stopped at different waterways. So he had about maybe 20 to 25 mason jars filled with water that he then got a Sharpie and marked on top, like, for example, Gulf of Mexico. And all the way to here to, when he got into South Dakota, stopped at a waterway and got water. And he, it was just something like he said he felt like he wanted to do, and to come and bring water from his travels from Florida to California, over here to North Dakota. So as you can hear behind me, there's a lot of people talking and cheering still. They have blocked off the bridge. That's the backwater bridge where people are familiar if they've seen the videos and the drone footage of the direct action that took place and the violence. They have now closed that off, and they're also seem to be not letting the media in that area either anymore, which we had access to. It might just be because it's nighttime. I haven't gotten an official word on why people can't go to the bridge. But tonight, people are not allowed to go to the bridge. About noon, they started gathering people up and not allowing them to go to the backwater bridge. What they did right before we took a lunch break was they were telling everybody to go into the camp. And what they did was they performed a prayer and a ceremony, asking people to join hands and wrap around the entire camp. And so that was right before the announcement was made among the people that are here. So those are just some of the things that went on today. And we're going to continue to be here and cover this and talk to people and get some more reaction about today's announcement.
And so you've been there since Friday. Was anybody expecting this announcement today, or had anybody heard anything about this?
So we have talked to camp organizers. We've met with tribal leaders, and if they knew, they're very good at their poker face. I'm sure that there was a sense, because like I said, early on today, they started a process and a plan of trying to get everybody inside the camp. And just my observation is that they knew about it, and especially with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe putting out on social media that the chairman was going to talk to the camp at 2:45 today, is that they definitely were preparing for the announcement. So I think behind the scenes, my thought is that the leadership and some of the camp organizers, it's likely that they had known something like this was happening today for sure. Early on, I'm not sure. Just what I can tell you is that people here, everybody we've talked to since we've been here, have been very positive and good thoughts about trying to stop this pipeline since the moment we stepped onto the camp.
All right, we're talking with Antonia Gonzalez from National Native News. She's at the camp in Cannonball, North Dakota. The one other thing we were wondering about is tomorrow. So the deadline for the eviction is tomorrow. What's going on in regards to that?
I'm sorry, can you say that question again?
Yeah, the tomorrow was supposed date for a deadline for the eviction of the people that are at camping. So is there anything being said about that in the camp in regards to that?
No, people are saying that they're staying, and they're not worried about the deadline. A lot of people, before the announcement was made, even we're saying that regardless, they were staying here. A lot of the people who have been living here for months, we've talked to many people who've been here, 2, 3, 4 months, and they have vowed to stay and fight this as long as they need to. I talked to a woman from Colorado who her family packed up and moved. They sold their house, all their possessions. They gave things away. They have 4 boys ranging in age from 3 all the way to teens. And so they decided that they were going to come out here, and they've been living out here. They have a wigwam. The mother invited me inside her wigwam and just talked about life being out here at the camp. And she's among the people who have said that, they're staying long term regardless of the outcome of tomorrow. To continue to stand ground with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
All right. Well, thank you, Antonia. Maury has one more question for you.
Hey, Antonia. Okay. This is Maury. I just have a question. Upon this announcement, has there been any talks about the company removing their drilling equipment and starting to move out?
They're not that I have heard as of yet. Like I said, I just got back to the camp, within like 10 minutes ago. So I'm really not sure what the talks are about the pipeline.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Antonia, for giving us a call back, and stay warm out there.
Yeah, stay warm.
It is cold right now. So.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, that was Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News, and you can get her reports tomorrow. She will be doing an update for National Native News, which comes off Kwanic Broadcasting, which airs right before Native America Calling, and you can find that online as well. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for her interviews that she was talking about all the people that she has met. It's really interesting. Yes, definitely. There are some really great people out there that are, you know, just they want to do something and help in any way. And I met a lot of them when I went out there myself and reporting out there. And it's interesting to talk to people. I actually met a gentleman who had come out there in the summer, and he had been there one of the longest persons being out there, and had been set up for a long time, and he had a teepee already set up and everything. So I believe he was from the Santee Sioux tribe, but I'm not sure. I can't remember right now. But yes, so we're talking about the Army Corps of Engineers denied the permit for the easement for the Dakota Access Pipeline, which will now have to be rerouted, and they will have to wait on an environmental impact statement to see about the dangers of what the pipeline could entail. So that could take months, and seeing what happened. And again, tomorrow is the eviction. Supposed to be the eviction for the campers that are there. And so I'm kind of wondering, they said they weren't going to forcibly move anybody, but they would issue tickets and arrest people. So I don't know if that's going to continue to happen.
It's hard to, you know, you have to read between the lines, I guess, with them. But I just saw something else where they're going to pull back from that bridge a little further back, I guess, to show good faith. You know, they're saying all these words like they're going to show good faith and that they're pulling back. But they said that they're still thinking that the violent factions from the camp are going to occur. So they're going to make arrests when that does happen. I'm just like, you know, with all video evidence that has come up, it's always come from that side. You know, there's always just been peaceful prayer and all the violence, the use of non-violent, I guess, weapons have come from them. And it's on video. You know, there's video coverage of it. But, you know, we could just stay in prayer, you know.
Yes, and so we're talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline here on Native Spirit Radio, here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host, and Mr. Mari Spala with me. He's Oglala Lakota from South Dakota. And the Army Corps denied the final permit for the easement for the Dakota Access Pipeline. And again, you know, I'm hesitant to say it's over. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, well, what's going to happen next? You know, what's the next step here? And seeing where we go from here, and being a part of, you know, seeing from the beginning to where it's at now, you know, it's interesting to see what will happen tomorrow. And and there's a lot of veterans up there, like Antonio was talking about, a lot of veterans that had gone up there to show their support in peace and just be there to help out as well. It's really exciting to see that. So I wanted to play one clip. Show what it was like when groups come in. And so Fort Belknap tribe came in when I was there, which interesting enough is my relative's tribe from Fort Belknap. And so I was really surprised that they came in right when I was there. So this is kind of the welcome that tribes would get when they're coming into camp.
And it warms my heart to see so much people coming in day to day. And every day this camp changes every time I come. And it's an unreal feeling. And it's good to see, like I said, the Montana tribe supporting this cause. And I welcome them to my community here in Cannonball and Standing Rock. On behalf of the Standing Rock community, I just got a report. I think we're at 188 resolutions supporting this cause from tribes all over the country. So that's a huge, huge mark. I think we're getting to be about 50%. Of the tribes supporting this cause. So thank you all again. You know, thank the tribes for coming. And I know Lawrence O'Donnell's here. I haven't got a chance to thank him yet, but it's good to see everybody here. Thank you again.
Seeing all of these flags here, all of the other tribes, it feels good. And we just wanted to stand with anybody that's going to protect our water, that's sacred to us. Yeah. We all know that. We come a long way. Feels good to finally get here. And we just brought some things. We have a gift for the chairman. And there's a small group of us here, but we bring the spirit from Fort Belknap to Standing Rock, to this camp here. That we all stand together to hopefully right the wrong that's been presented and put in front of the people of Standing Rock. Thank you.
Nechen, Tafai Chia Naoji Bi Nechen, or Tantanga Nechen, Ushu Nahi Nechen. Nechen Mini Us Nechen Uhi Bi Ne. My relatives, I said, I come here. We come here to help you folks. Because like my grandson said, the water's sacred. This is why we're here. This is why we're all gathered here. And it's good that we help one another here. So, Wakantanga, bless you all.
My relatives, they don't sit as my Indian name. I carry the name Red Belt. And then I come from the White Clay people. We're known as Grovons also. And I feel really good to be here at this camp. And I didn't realize how good it felt when I come here. You know, this water is sacred, it's holy. This water is part of us. We all carry it in our bodies. And we should take care of our Mother Earth like that. And so it's really good to be here at this camp. I really feel good to be here today. It's good what you're doing. You're fighting for all the things that Mother Earth provides for us. She gives to us, but we've got to remember we always got to give back to our Mother. So, thank you all today.
They always say that seven times ahead. So there's a world for them. I'm grateful to all you good people, and we pray for your home fires, that they're burning brightly. When you get back there, when you get home, that you share your good stories and your home fires are burning bright.
All right, so that was some of the audio footage, I had a video footage, but that was part of the audio from it when I was up at Standing Rock at the camp and interviewing other people. But that was when the Fort Belknap contingent came in, and I don't know if you remember Terry Brockie. Do you remember him when he was here?
No.
Okay. So that was Terry. It was the second to last person that was speaking on them. And I consider him one of my brothers because he's really good friends with my cousins that are from Fort Belknap. Mm-hmm. They're half. So, yeah. So it was pretty cool to see that and to hear them speaking their language. Mm-hmm. It was just really awesome to hear all that and, you know, just see what they had to say, and elders as well, mm-hmm. being there. And it was just, it was really nice to see how they welcomed everybody into camp. Right. This is like a big grand entry. That's the only way I could explain it. It was like a grand entry.
Yeah, it was really amazing when it first started growing, seeing all the different nations come in representing, you know, their people from not only the U.S., but from all around the world. You know, there were some women, I think they're from Switzerland. I don't know. I can't remember. But they had come in because they're indigenous to their land, and they understood our struggle and our fight. And I remember them coming in their traditional outfits and bringing their flag. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is growing. And then the Maori people came in, and the Hawaiians.
Aztecs.
And yeah, then it was just, it was growing and growing and growing. And I just could not believe how much of this has gone out. And it wouldn't have gotten out if it wasn't for social media, because mainstream media was not covering it at all. Now they're there, you know, and it's interesting to see them there now, because I think they had gotten wind that 11,000 vets were coming in. So they're probably expecting a showdown, you know, for their news broadcast. But that's not going to happen for them, I don't think. I hope not. But it's interesting to see them there now. Yeah. And I don't know, it's like, it's good to see this.
It is. And there's just so much, so much stuff going on. Again, we're talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Army Corps of Engineers will not grant the final permit needed to finish the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Department of Interior let people know what was going on. And so, again, that happened just this afternoon about 3:15, 3:20, and spread like wildfire all across Indian country, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere.
People
are sharing this statement. But unfortunately, there's other issues going on across Indian country that we are still dealing with. You know, other issues we have with our image, our stereotypes, people culturally appropriating us. So I just wanted to say some of my news stuff in addition to the great news of what has been happening. There, it sounds like, you know, just a victory going on over there on at the camp. But as well, some bad things have been happening. So you've seen on Facebook that people have been promoting buying T-shirts, mm-hmm. Water protector T-shirts, and the profits would go to the Dakota Access or No Dakota Access Pipeline camps. But what they're finding out is that there's people who are cashing in on this and scamming people that are not affiliated with the campsite at all. So a Native designer saying her work is being stolen and resold, and some pages falsely claim to donate proceeds to the protesters at Standing Rock. Jared Yazzie, a Navajo who runs OXDX, a Native American clothing company in Arizona, he said some Facebook pages even taken photos of his models and photoshopped different clothing on them. Erica Moore is a 23-year-old Native American who designed a series of T-shirts to help raise funds for the pipeline protesters. She said copies of her design soon began showing up on Facebook and elsewhere. And so this story was being reported by BuzzFeed, and they tracked some of the offending Facebook pages. One was called Like If You Love Native Americans, which has almost 190,000 fans and is connected to a website registered to a person in Vietnam. It promotes T-shirts by photoshopping them on celebrities like The Rock, Johnny Depp, and Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. And then many of recent posts about clothing comments on Standing Rock, although there's no evidence that the people running the page donate any proceeds to the protesters. BuzzFeed messaged the page on Facebook, and a person who replied introduced themselves as a woman in Michigan named Maria Torres, who claims to be Native American on her Facebook. The profile appears to only have been created in March. The account also reposts content and merchandise from a page called Wolves in Native American Culture. Why does it always have to be wolves?
Yeah. Wolves, eagles.
If there's a wolf, that should be a sign. Get away. Get far away. So they're telling people, make sure that if you're buying a shirt, make sure you know where it's coming from. What's her name? Shalane Woodley, mm-hmm. her T-shirt. Her shirt is only, the official seller is Omaze, Omaze. And, but it's being sold by other counterfeit sites.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So make sure you're, you know, that you're not buying the wrong T-shirt from the wrong company. And I'm sure if it's like these big sites, it probably isn't. So make sure you're not getting ripped off, or, you know, the money's probably not going to that, to the right place. Another issue, again, coming out. So some of us remember as James Arthur Ray, he was a guru who had a sweat in Arizona, and it killed, I believe it killed three people. I can't remember. Yes, three people eventually died from heat stroke. 18 were hospitalized. He has a movie coming out, a documentary called Enlighten Us, The Rise and Fall of James Arthur Ray. And he's still doing public speaking. A lot of his people who died, the family of the people who died, are very upset with what he is doing, that he shouldn't be doing this. And this is crazy. I was like, man, he killed people.
Yeah,
and that's culturally appropriating a sweat lodge. So, right. Like, again, it does not end. You know, there's all these things that are
never
happening. And then an update on the Navajo Nation. They reached a settlement with major fashion retailer that sold Navajo products without the tribe's authorization. The terms of the settlement are confidential, but President Russell Begay said Urban Outfitters Incorporated, a publicly traded company, has agreed to recognize the validity of the tribe's trademarks. We expect that any company considering the use of the Navajo name or our designs or motifs will ask us for our permission, Begay sent a press release this past Thursday. At one point, the tribe filed documents that exposed the company to millions of dollars in damages for selling Navajo items on the internet and at stores like Urban Outfitters and Anthropologie. Their products were marketed and sold as far back as 2008, but they were not produced by tribe or its members. As part of the settlement, the tribe will enter into a license and supply agreement with the company, and the two parties will work together to develop an authentic line of jewelry. Quote, as a company, Urban Outfitters has long been inspired by the style of Navajo and other American Indian artists and looks forward to the opportunity to work with them on future collaborations, Aziz Hain, the firm's general counsel, stated. The tribe sued Urban Outfitters in February 2012 after attempts to resolve the dispute were unsuccessful. The lawsuit alleged trademark infringements and violations of the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, a federal law that requires goods that are marketed as Indian to be produced by a tribe or Indian artisan. The lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice on Monday, meaning the tribe can't return to court to pursue those same claims. A filing on Wednesday indicates the dispute over five trademarks had been resolved by the settlement. So again, cultural appropriation of designs all the time. Some of these things are just crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have all sorts of issues going on. Again, the big news today, the Army Corps of Engineers stated that they will not grant the final permit needed to finish the Dakota Access Pipeline. Announcement of the news this afternoon at the camp. Many people were excited and happy, celebrating. We had Antonio Gonzalez reporting about people just being very happy, feeling very excited and celebrating, honking their horns out at the camp. She's out there right now. Again, if you want to hear her interviews tomorrow, she'll be on National Native News. It airs right before Native America Calling. You can find that on the internet as well. Any final thoughts, Maury?
You know, it's just, I'm in high spirits. You know, I've been watching this from Kansas, you know, for many, many months, and watching live video of what's been going on. And even though I'm not there, I feel like I'm a part of it. That's, you know, the area of the country that I grew up in, and I understand what they go through. It's a great day. You know, it's a good day, and it's a great way to start off our new week here. But, you know, like I said, be vigilant and just keep going, you know. And like I said, there's other pipelines that are being protested around the country, so I don't want people to just stop now. I don't want to, them to think that, okay, now we can just go home and go back to our lives, which is great. But, I mean, we should all be vigilant in what's going on, especially in our backyards. You know, these people, Standing Rock, they're worried about what's going through their pretty much their backyard. That's why they stood up. And it's great that we had allies, you know, stand up and say, you know what, we're with you. But we have people in Florida fighting a pipeline, people, you know, all over the place standing up, and they're not getting as much attention. So we do need to seek those people out and give them our support.
Definitely. So, yeah, again, the big announcement this afternoon, the Dakota Access Pipeline has been stopped temporarily. The Army Corps of Engineers stated they will not grant that final permit until they do an environmental impact statement, which would be probably a couple months. The big thing, again, though, tomorrow is that eviction deadline for the camps. So we don't know. Still, what may happen, and as Antonio Gonzalez reported, that people said they're still going to stay. So, mm-hmm. Tomorrow's going to be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for tuning in here on Native Spirit Radio, here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I really appreciate that, you know, having an outlet here so that we can talk about this as something that's like, well, even when we were watching on MSNBC, it wasn't the top. I mean, it was a top, but it was like just a teeny little bit. It's like, but we want to hear more. We want to hear more. Right. So we have this opportunity here at KKFI to bring this information to you guys and you know, let you know what's happening for a full hour.
Right.
And that's really awesome. So, you know, we're able to do that here with this station, and we mm-hmm. appreciate that. So thank you, Maury Spala, for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I'll be reposting this show so we can share it with others if they are not aware of what's happening.
And I just want to say thank you to, like, the Kansas City area allies that we've had. You know, I've met a few of them that were going up there, that have been up there around the Kansas-Missouri area. So they understand that this could have affected them as well. So thanks for standing with us.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. And they had their own protests out here as well
to let
people be aware of that. And again, that's what you need to do. You don't have to go all the way there. You can be here and let people know what's happening.
Exactly.
And that's the important thing. I'll be leaving you off with some Astunba and a Spirit of Mother Earth. I think this is, you know, something
appropriate.
Yes, it is. Thank you for tuning in. Sunset Reggae is coming up next.